Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is one of life's good guys. While he's been thrown some curveballs along the way, he believes life's all about what you do when those curveballs arrive. His book, Shut Up, Move On, Sumo, was first published 20 years ago. And to mark that, he's back with a special 20th anniversary edition. It's great to welcome Paul McGee to Down to Business. How are you, Paul?
Bobby, I'm really good. I've had my morning walk. I've even had a shower for you and your guests.
So good, honestly, man.
It's all good.
Now, tell me this. Remind us why you wrote the book in the first place, plus years ago.
Yeah, my background is like in behavioural and social psychology. So I was working as a coach, a trainer, and I'd be a speaker. And I was sharing some ideas, some a little bit quirky. I'd start to use this phrase, sumo, shut up, move on. And then eventually people start to say to me, you know, you should write a book. And people would say to me, oh, I wish my husband or my partner could have heard you speak. So I would say, one, it was instigated partly by the audience. Secondly, you know, I run my own business. You know, I'm in that motivational world. I've not climbed Everest. I've not overcome cancer or anything dramatic like that, which I know various people have. So I thought, how do I build my credibility? And just those two words, author of, built my credibility. And I've got to be honest, throwing a dash of ego as well. And I think that all kind of contributed to me releasing the book.
Now, you had a few interesting jobs. How much of you is in the book in terms of, I know you worked in a factory that was making, as you said yourself, the economy burgers. And you don't eat economy burgers because you know everything that what goes into them.
That's right. I mean, my life's been quite diverse, really. I started off as a bank clerk. I trained as part of my degree to be a probation officer. And then I was working for a large multinational. And one of the things that they did was they made beef burgers. And they said, here's your development opportunity, Paul. Manage those 30 women on the economy beef burger line. Bobby, I've still got the psychological scars, and that happened nearly 40 years ago.
Tell us then about the 7 R's that are, I suppose, are a fundamental part of the book.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be the cause of the cure of insomnia for any of your listeners. So whether I mention all of them,
we already tried that.
You know, one of the R's is simply reflection. We do a lot of stuff on autopilot without thinking. I'll often say to people, how many of you drive a car, ever had that bizarre experience? You're driving, you're lost in your thoughts and your music, and it's like you wake up and think, what happened to the last 10 miles? Why am I in the back seat? And we often do a lot on autopilot. It's one of the big R's is about reflection. One of the others is also about the quality of our relationships. You know, there's this little cheesy phrase, you know, it's not the destination, it's the journey that matters. That is true. But you know what I've learned also, Bobby? It's not just the journey that matters. It's who you do the journey with. So one of the things that my book looks at is about improving our relationships as well. And if I was to mention another of the 7 R's, reality. So I am described as a motivational speaker, but I always tell people you're not going to get Californian motivation. I'm not going to suggest that tomorrow morning you look at yourself in a mirror going, I'm a tiger, I'm a tiger, I'm a tiger. You know, my background, my roots are actually in Ireland, but I grew up and was brought up in Manchester. So I talk about Mancunian motivation, which for me is tell it as it is, no bull, and let's be practical. And so one of the things that's really important for me in working with people is it's also grounded in reality. So yeah. Reflection, relationships, and reality are certainly 3 of the 7 okay. R's.
Let's talk then about, you know, maybe some questions around how to help yourself with Shut Up and Move On. Seeking support from others is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. I think you say that, you know, seeking too much counsel can be dangerous. And you also need to be careful who you share your difficulties with.
Yeah, I mean, so life's a bit paradoxical because I am actually saying sometimes you need to seek support, which you do. I worked with Manchester City for a number of years and they had a player who had been dropped and basically he had a lot of stuff going on in his head and off the pitch. And I was like put in touch with him, but he wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't talk to anyone because in a sense he saw seeking support as a sign of weakness, not a sign of wisdom. So we do need to seek support. But, you know, there are some people who are well-meaning friends, but I would call them sometimes they're the awfulizers. They're the people who make you feel worse about your problem after you've shared it with them. So you've got your awfulizers, you've got your happies, who are just people who say to you, oh, well, just cheer up, you know, everything's going to be fine. And sometimes you do need someone who'll just be a good listener, who you don't even need an answer from them, but you just need to feel heard and understood. But we do feel at times pressurized to think, I've either got to over-empathize with you and just tell you how things are awful, or just say, cheer up and make you a cup of tea, everything will be fine. And, you know, human relationships are not easy and straightforward. And we learn about lots of different things in school, but we don't always learn about how to help each other particularly well.
When we talk then about life's curveballs, Paul, you know, are you basically of the view then we're all going to get them, and it's really how you deal with them is where you should start? So, you know, nobody is without curveballs.
Sure. I mean, the older you are on the planet, Bobby, you know, and you and I were both born in the 60s, the longer you are on this planet and have the privilege of waking up every single day on this planet, I guess you increase your chances that life's going to throw you those curveballs. And one of the things I've learned, so I lost my job in the late 1980s through ill health. I became ill with this illness called ME, myalgic encephalomyelitis, or a newspaper called it the yuppie flu. Some people now refer to it as chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, I was 24. All of a sudden, I've got a walking stick. I'm on what they then called invalidity benefit. And that is a death, and I've been married just less than a year. That's a curveball. Now, one of the things I've just learned in life, it isn't always what happens to you. It's how you respond. Yeah. And one of the things that I think some people, you know, struggle with is they go, yeah, but certain things happen to me and it's not my fault. And I go, 100%, it's not your fault, but it is now your responsibility. This has happened and it's not your responsibility by meaning, so it's all on you, you've got to resolve it. It is your responsibility to find a way through, to seek support from other people, to ask for help.
And sometimes realizing that is the biggest challenge, that you actually need to do that.
Yeah, totally. And one of my sumo principles, because it's not all shut up and move on like this, it's an umbrella term to describe a lot of principles. One of my phrases is, or one of my principles is called hippo time is okay. What do hippos do in mud? They wallow. And actually, as human beings, we need sometimes to have a little bit of that hippo time to feel, you know, something may have happened. We might feel mad, bad, or sad about stuff. And it's like, you know what? Hippo time's okay. However, the key thing to remember is it's okay, but it's temporary. It's a detour. It's not meant to be a destination. So I'm not saying we should all go around with a big smile on our face at times. We're humans. We're not robots. Yeah. And we need to sometimes just allow that hippo time, but not wallow for too long, because life's too short and too precious to wallow too long.
And on that point, you say one of your subheadings is change your T-shirt. That means stop wearing the victim T-shirt and start feeling in control of your own life and indeed your own decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's be honest, society and certain structures and systems don't make it easy for people. But I also think we need to be aware of this victim narrative that sometimes we get from the media. And that when things are going wrong in your life, you know, we should look outside to look to blame someone else. Whereas what I talk about in the book is sometimes look in the mirror and have a look at yourself as well. You know, we can, you know, very much play what I call the BSE game, blame someone else. And it is about, you know, not necessarily seeing yourself as a victim. I'm very aware, and I want to stress this, there are genuine victims in life. I get that. However, I think sometimes we can get into a bit of a victim mindset. I'm finding, you know, increasingly, you know, and I'm being slightly controversial with this statement, but some people are going, you know, life's not good and it's all to do with immigration. Well, maybe sometimes life's not good and it's not to do with stopping the boats or immigration. It's to do with having a quick look in the mirror at yourself, first of all, because even if government sort out other external issues, we've got to realise that some of our biggest challenges are internal ones as well.
Paul, is there any correlation in your view with physical fitness and one's state of content or happiness in one's life?
I think absolutely, Bobby. I think that, you know, we talk about the mind-body link. And I mean, before this call, I've already been out in nature. I've also listened to a podcast, but sometimes I stop and stare at just being outside. So it's physical exercise, but it's also about, you know, getting out into nature. And there's all kinds of research about how that can calm you down, can calm down that emotional part of your brain, the amygdala. And I think, you know, some people go, well, I don't want to do exercise, I want to go to the gym. I sometimes say, just think of the language of movement, standing, moving around, getting outside. And if you don't do much physical exercise, you know, even just doing 5 minutes and then build it up to 10 and 15. Yeah. You know, I'm not, if anyone ever saw what I look like online, they'll know I'm not some ripped, physical, massive, wonderful specimen.
A bit like myself.
But you know, I'm trying to look after not just my mental health, but my physical health, because they're not, you know, diametrically opposed. They are connected. And sometimes it's even like food can affect your mood.
Yeah.
So I'm very much of the holistic approach around health.
Finally, can I ask you, Paul, about, you know, what's changed in 20 years when you went to do the new edition of the book? What are the sort of standout things that are different 20 years on?
There's several. I mean, one of them, of course, when the book came out in 2005, Facebook had just started in the US amongst college students. There was no Twitter or X, as it became. There was no Instagram, Snapchat, WhatsApp. So clearly, the role of social media and just of technology anyway has made a massive change. I mean, 20 years ago, Donald Trump wasn't even a reality TV star, never mind president for the second time. So I think, but the other thing I would also say is that when I've moved in this sort of self-help space for over 30 years, and I think there was a degree of cynicism or skepticism about my work initially. People saw it as very American. One of the positive things that has changed over 20 years since the book first came out is I do think people are more receptive or more open to some of the ideas that I've been talking about for many years.
Good man. Listen, it's been great to catch up this morning, Paul. The author is Paul McGee. The book is Shut Up, Move On. The latest 20th anniversary edition is out now. Thanks for joining us this morning, Paul.
It's been an absolute pleasure. All the best, Bobby. Thank you very much.
Good man. Thanks again.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.